Are you there?
Good morning, and yes, good morning, and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
We had a couple of assignments to work on over the weekend, and here's the one from Friday. All conditioned things are impermanent. Work out your own salvation with diligence. In the daily recollection, we say, all formations are transient. All formations are subject to suffering. All things are without a self. The first sentence of the quote points to the teaching, all formations are transient. The second sentence points to, all formations are subject to suffering. The Buddha therefore counsels us to practice working on the salvation of the one being we can save, the one we identify as me. But if the Buddha taught that all things are without a self, then the voices inevitably ask the question, who am I saving? Fortunately, Sherry, I am sorry, that was the assignment from Thursday, not Friday. So I'm going to...
Well, it's a very good... It's a very good assignment and very good to have a review. What happened
all right.
on Friday?
Well, that was actually our assignment that we discussed on Friday from Thursday. The Friday assignment was the moment is the sole reality. If we pay any attention at all, we can see how obviously true this quote is. But since many of us spend a considerable portion of our time lost in a story and conditioned mind, the story appears more real than the moment. The story is almost always something that happened in the past or some awful thing that could happen in the future. We're either in review or rehearsal. We're not here where life is actually happening. What's more, when we're listening to the voices, we don't even realize that what went before and what may come after are not happening now. Today, set alarms to bring your attention back to this year now and practice being present to the reality of the moment. Record and listen. And then on Saturday, and if there is not any such thing as a long time nor the rest of your lives, nor from now on, but there is only now, why then, now is the thing to praise and I'm very happy with it. The Buddha describes suffering as not getting what you want, getting what you want and not being satisfied with it, being separated from those and that which you love, having to tolerate those and that which you do not love. Said differently, suffering is wanting something to be different than it is. We're so deeply identified with this orientation of negation that it almost never occurs to us to celebrate what is, to appreciate how things are, to be grateful for what we have, to love those that are in our lives. Today, praise the now. Sing a song, do a dance, make a recording that celebrates what is in the moment. Record and listen. And then on Sunday...
Is that computer fighting you again?
Yes, I actually can't get to the assignment, Sherry, so I'm going to try to just bring our first caller on and hope they did the assignment for Sunday.
Oh, there we go. We turn to Sangha, don't we? Somebody will have done the Sunday assignment. All right.
Here we go, and let me see if I can bring it up.
All right, thank you.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, it's Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Hi.
Hi, Karen.
I'm outside, so I'm not sure. I'm not at the Sunday assignment either. Sorry.
okay.
But I just, you know, they sort of all speak to me in the same way, and which is lovely. So, I would say... on a content level, it's pretty easy to get caught up in wanting things to be different. And then, on a moment level, you know, there's just these beautiful moments of, you know, in the fall is helping because it's so beautiful and the, you know, the air on the skin and just, there's just these beautiful moments. And, So that's one piece of it. And another piece of what I'm just seeing about the assignments is that, I'm taking care of a loved one, and my loved one has gotten quite spiritual, which is wonderful for me. And if we get into talking about something, like he keeps reminding me, he's saying, you know, that's in the past or that's in the future. And he said, my practice is to drop anything in the past and the future. Mm-hmm. And he'll say that to me, and it's such a wonderful reminder to have that, you know, to have somebody reflecting that to me over and over and over again, because, you know, what can I do but drop it, drop whatever is there that's upsetting me.
Yep.
And I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that, you know, that I would have sort of that this would be this way.
Yes.
You know, that yes. somebody
that,
would be leading.
Right. You're the caregiver. You're the one. You're the one kind of in charge. You're the one. You don't expect suddenly to realize, actually, I'm being guided. I'm not leading. I'm being guided.
Yeah. Yeah, and and it's especially sweet because this person was so instrumental. He was the one that found this practice for himself and went to the TINW retreat and all. And so it's so sweet because it's like, it's just all heading in that direction. You know, he's really wanted. He wants our daughter to be involved in practice, but he hasn't really been able to reach out for it too much himself. But he really wants that for me, for the people that he loves, even if for whatever reason he wasn't able to practice in the way that, you know, that, I would have loved for him to be able to practice. And, but it's all fine. It's all, so I don't know, I feel like I'm rambling a little bit, but it's just all okay. And that's, I guess, what those quotes brought me back to, is just to just drop it. Let's back to the, you know, the stop, drop, and breathe that we used to always say, and I haven't heard it too much lately, but that was always such a
but
good.
But it's still good, isn't it?
It's just the best.
What you said kind of early on, I really responded to, which was, well, they're kind of all the quotes. So, well, there's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, it's sort of all the same thing. And I hear myself as Ashwini is reading the assignments going, you know, with that, And that's the wonder and beauty of it, isn't it? That increasingly, and in your home now increasingly, there's just that constant reminder of this.
It really is. And each of these assignments is yet another way to bring us back. It looks at a little bit different aspect.
Yes.
You know, it points us a little bit different way of looking, and I don't know, I guess in a way maybe I guess I should just speak for myself, but I bet I'm speaking for a lot of people, is that we align with that and we're constantly calibrating to that. And it's
yes.
a constant turning the heart towards this, towards this moment.
And again, when you say that, Karen, because if it were always the same quote, we'd think we knew it, right? And then we don't have to pay attention. It's like in your situation now with your loved one. Every moment is new.
And
there's an awareness that this is a new, here we are. We don't know about the past. We don't know about, here we are. And each one of these quotes, as you say, gives us a slightly different take on the very same thing, right? It is the same place, but we get to come to it anew each time, which is what lights us up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for letting me reach out and connect. And
anytime,
you know,
anytime.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashley.
You are so welcome.
Okay.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen. I did manage to locate the assignment, Sherry.
Oh.
So, and it's a beautiful one.
Good.
Do you think I know what I'm doing? That for one breath or half a breath, I belong to myself. As much as a pen knows what it's writing or the ball can guess where it's going next. Mm-hmm. If Eagle Eye answered Rumi's question, it would confidently say, of course I know what I'm doing. After all, I'm doing it. The height of egocentricity is the ego claiming to be the intelligence that animating all. Agency and the illusion of control, which animating. We drop into being carried by the river of life, being unfolded by it perfectly without any grasping at purpose or direction. And we can say with Rumi, I no longer belong to myself. Today, practice belonging to life. Notice the many ways that life lives you perfectly. Record and listen.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Dan from Los Angeles.
Hello, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, there's always this little pause when it's the lottery is going on and who's going to talk next. And I used to label that, conditioning used to label that energy fear, but, it's excitement. Hey, there's energy here to participate. So that was cool.
Are you there? Dan?
Hello? Oh, can you hear me?
Are you there? Yeah, now I can.
Okay. Did you hear anything I said?
I heard the from fear to excitement.
Excitement.
To participate.
Yeah. Okay. So I was the one that really resonated for me this weekend was the in conditioned mind, everything's review or rehearsal, and so I just gave myself a break, and there was so much tenderness in it and relief, and it was just so kind. I was falling for stories of overwhelm, and just remembering there's, the mentor eventually dropped in, or I tuned into, there's always time in the moment, and just taking that stop, could see how unkind urgency and to-do lists and almost whipping this person along, not almost, is.
For no purpose except to take him out of the moment and into a place of suffering. Right? Because that's all that's ever accomplished with that. It doesn't make you more efficient or more effective. It doesn't get the work done. It doesn't take you out of, it doesn't do anything. It just takes you out of presence and kindness and enjoying life. That's it.
As everyone said many times before, process is outcome. And urgently rushing around with too much to do does not ever lead to,
never.
I'm done.
That's right. Well, except the big I'm done.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Where probably the last thought is, oh, shoot. I missed it.
And that kind of led into the other day, one of the other day's assignment about there's only now. And, when, as you were just saying, I hope I live many more years, but, you know, it could be a car accident or a meteor in the next hour, and shucks, I don't want my last hour to be urgency, and and if I don't want my last hour to be that, why do I want this second to be that?
That's right, yes, yes. Especially, Dan, when we get it that it's not for any purpose. Mm. It's not for any reason. You know, as long as we think that we're getting somewhere, you know, we're accomplishing something, we're gonna reach that goal, and then everything is going to be, as soon as we get that whole thing is a lie, because the assumption in it that we fall for is being crazy makes you more efficient, more effective, will make you more successful. And there's no evidence of that, right? I mean,
yeah,
not that there aren't people that we call successful who are crazy, but, you know, those two things, we see a lot of other people probably whose success we admire more who are not falling for that, who are really in tune with life and in touch with what's going on, are kind and loving and caring and present, and they are, in quotes, successful. Let's be like them.
Yeah. Actually, hearing that, I was curious, you know, why is this so believable? Why do I keep falling for this one? And it was that this somehow keeps me safe. It's a form of control. It feels in control.
Keeps ego safe. Yep. Keeps ego in control.
That's a nice way of putting it, yeah. I'm not in control.
It's also the accurate way of putting it. Yeah, exactly.
Looking at experience, I guess after decades of furious activity, you're right. I'm not getting anywhere. It is literally the hamster wheel. Taking the courage.
You know, Dan,
I
was looking at it recently in a slightly different context, where from a politics perspective. And a conversation about people saving billions of dollars, not paying billions of dollars of taxes if a certain thing happens in a particular way. Billions of dollars. And I was just looking at, you know, having enough billions of dollars that you could be asked to pay billions of dollars in taxes. And not wanting to do that, to want to hold on to more, those extra billions of dollars. And it was just, it was kind of a little koan for me there for a bit, until I realized it's because it's a process. And so the assumption that we have is that where I am now is not enough. But as soon as I reach enough, then I'll relax and be happy and enjoy my life.
Huh.
But that process, when we watch somebody else in a process like that, we can get a sense that there is no such thing as enough for ego. We will never, ever, in that system, ever be allowed to receive, to have, to relax, to enjoy, to feel good. It's not a part of the system.
Yeah, that was very helpful to hear it put in with a slightly different content. So always accumulating money, never enough money.
Never enough.
Is the same as never enough done. Got to keep doing, more money.
Yeah.
It's the same
gotta
process.
Got to keep feeding ego. Got to keep feeding ego. Got to stay urgent. Ego is urgency. Yeah. Thank
you,
Dan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dan. Sherry, I'm just going to keep unmuting callers since those assignments took such a long time. So here we go. Here is our next caller.
All right,
you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What you seeing in Seattle?
Well, One thing that I just saw with that last call, which was really interesting, was the using different content and just replacing, got to keep doing this or keep doing that. And I was looking at a place where I get bamboozled is got to keep helping, and because it has such a compelling story for me around that that's what a good person does. And I guess that's coming up for me right now is going through some heavy content and just getting really depleted by not being there enough for myself and getting talked into using the energy to be supportive of other people in that time.
Yeah. So that's big, isn't it? Seeing that the real message, because there's the message that we think we're living, and then there's the real message. So good people help everyone except themselves. That's the real message, right? If we stop the message at good people help others, well, that's nice. You know, we can get a lot of support for that, right? And that's true. That's wonderful. But when you add the accept themselves, help other people, not themselves, then we see the dualistic nature of it. Then we realize that it's coming from ego.
Right. Yeah. And I was looking at that with the quote from Saturday about being grateful for those in our lives. And I did spend time with that this weekend, just truly being grateful. And there was this ego element on top of it that is, well, how are you going to show them? How are you going to tell them? And just realizing that I can just be that.
Yes. And probably the first best answer to those questions is stop being in relationship with those questions.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, that's such a clear picture of how ego is working you for its benefit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I really heard it in that last call just by replacing the content of, all right, well, now you got to do this and now you got to do that. And it came clear in a way that it hadn't before.
So that
was helpful.
The world of ego, ego-centered karmic conditioning, self-hate, is really based in beliefs and assumptions about how life works.
Mm-hmm.
And there, the only thing that matters is doing, because doing is ego's world. So just loving is not valuable, because there's no doing in that. I mean, you didn't wash any dishes, you didn't cook anything, you didn't do any laundry, you didn't clean anybody's house, you didn't... So there's no value in that. You with me?
Yes. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and when I think of being with people who are not doing and are loving, it's everything. It's so fulfilling, and it's just such a beautiful experience.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's what we all want, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's not either or, isn't it? I mean, we can love
and
be of assistance, but it's not either or. And no one is left out. That's the key to the whole thing. No one is sacrificed. You know, I don't know that this is true, obviously, but I've read that Mother Teresa prayed and meditated for 4 hours out of every day. Now, you know, the image we have of her is she's just out there in the streets, right, picking people up and taking, you know, just a real life of self-sacrifice. And yet, if that's true, that she spent 4 hours out of every day in prayer and meditation, she was taking pretty darn good care of herself. And probably was finding in that the strength to go out there and love unconditionally all day long, every day.
Yes. And then the it's not the driving from ego that's driving it.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the fulfilling and overflowing from the unconditional.
Yes, so beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kate. Sherry, we have a time for one more caller.
All right. Well, thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Pasha from San Francisco. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Pasha.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. It's interrupting on my end. So I... what a great way to stop in the middle of a bike ride.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Pull over to the side.
Yes, I am on the side.
Good.
And the way I practiced with yesterday's assignment was to be led by life is what came up was kind of playful. It was a few hours I had with a bike. With electric bike I rented, and I didn't know what to do or where to go. I was just going kind of at random, looking where life takes me. And I've been to the places, gone kind of on purpose. And it was like 2 hours of expanding experience, of seeing the beauty and the life is living so many things. Life is bringing life to so many things at the same time, all the time.
So if I may
yes.
reflect that, or a variation of reflection on that, because that's a beautiful thing. So you went out with the purpose of being present, right? Just to go where life took you, to experience what was there, to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, to touch, to
yes.
just to be with life. And
yep.
as life expressed. Wow. That's
yeah.
not usually on a to-do list, is
well,
it?
No, that's actually kind of was a big push against the karma, because the karma would say, I don't deserve until I finish the stuff I need to finish. Only then I can rest. And... And also, while I was going, there was a lot of voices and ideas coming up about what I should have been doing instead. Mm-hmm. And I had to call and check with my family to make sure that's, you know, that it is really allowed and it's possible for me to take those hours from the responsibilities to others.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it really was an awareness practice assignment, wasn't it? So you go out there just to be present to life, and what you run in, what you get to see is everything that's trying to stop you. You've got to finish all this stuff on your list. You have all these responsibilities. You have people that you're supposed to take care of and be there for. And all that's coming up as you're just trying to be present to life unfolding. What a great exercise.
Yes, and what just came up is the next time I can do that intentionally, not because I had 2 hours left of rental, but just going with intention of kind of doing nothing, being present, not attending to to-do list, and not going after any goal, and let life lead.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm so grateful for those gifts and opportunities and the stuff that I saw and was part of. It just, you know, wouldn't be enough hour to describe what happened.
Yes. Yep. Yep. I know what you mean. In a split second, it would take volumes to try to tell somebody what just happened in that split second of presence. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pasha.
Thank you so much.
Go safely.
Ingesho.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Pasha. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show. Sherry, here is our assignment for today.
All right.
A person can know nothing except by going from the known to the unknown.
Ashwini? Ashwini, I don't know if it's me or you, but you sound a little bit underwater. So would you read that one again?
Sure.
A person. Oh, there you go. Sound much better.
The unknown. We can all relate to the experience of looking out when we come across something we already know. If we think we know something, we stop paying attention. We stop learning. This is why Zen encourages beginner's mind, an open, curious, and inquiring attitude that is receptive to possibilities. When we're present, we could say we're omniscient. I recently came across omniscience defined as knowing everything one needs to know in the moment that it needs to be known. This is the knowing of the unknown, the accessing of the database of intelligence in the here and now. Now contains all the information that we need, and when we're here for it, we're alive in the knowledge of it. Today, bring an attitude of not knowing to a routine activity and learn something new. Record and listen.
They do build, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks,
take care. Go happy.
Thank you.